Blog Talk Radio.
Judgment and detaching from judgment and its impact on our experience and reality. This morning we're going to finish up chapter 26. I'll be starting on page 253 this morning if you're following me in your books. Wow. I sent you guys a newsletter, little tidbits of information to kind of help you expand your studies a little bit. Anyway, Dr. Reggie, how are you this morning?
I am grateful for everything, to be alive and for breathing and everything, all the good labs and everything else. I'm really grateful.
I know. Dr. Reggie went to the doctor yesterday, and oh my God, they're all shouting and jumping up with joy. His lab works are looking wonderful. And he's just moving in the right direction. So we're so grateful. He's healing so well. And we thank God for that healing.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Reggie, would you go ahead and take us into our opening prayer this morning?
Gladly. Dear Creator and Creatrix, thank you, God, for everything that we are. On this day we've never seen before, and as long as we are alive on this planet, we'll never see this day again. We thank you for it. Let us rejoice in it and be glad exceedingly that this is a brand new day with a brand new opportunity. New sunshine, new skies, new breathing opportunity of fresh air and love to share and learn and to grow and to expand our consciousness and be even more aware of your presence in everything and in every person, including ourselves. We thank you for those beautiful energies standing out on the vista of eternity where we are right now. From our vantage point, we see everything that is, and knowing that you move through every part of our being. Thank you that the Holy Spirit burns its way all the way in everybody's heart. Mm-hmm. As we listen with new ears, understand with new minds, and feel with new hearts, we thank you for this energy that we are so divine in nature and in expression. Let us always know we are always unfolding and don't know everything, but are open to brand new opportunities and new learning of who you are in us and your sovereignty and your majesty in everything that we do. But we are your wonderful children, always seeking your help in expression. We believe it is so as we go forth, and so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. So, yesterday, I'm going to go roll back just one paragraph. You know, they were talking about how at some point, when we get on our spiritual journey and we experience these heightened levels of awareness, our vibration is at a higher level, and there's so much joy and peace in that state of being that we don't want to interrupt it. We don't want to invite other vibrations into our area because or into within our vicinity because we don't want to be exposed to it. And so we separate, we begin separating ourselves from people and situations. And it says that one begins to crystallize in one's awareness that what once may have been perceived as negativity or density, and thus have been rejected or avoided, was in fact no more than a reflection of one's own state of beingness. So what you perceive as negative and you recoil from it is really something inside of you. And they talk about that the vibratory essence of a vision is not sustained by the vision itself, but rather is a mirror of one's perception of it. This is how you are perceiving it. One's attitudes and biases come into play here and form the foundation of the levels of vibration of all one experiences as reality, and thus how those perceptions affect you as energy. When one perceives an image that one interprets as external to one's own being and recoils at the sight, one is not reacting to what is inherent in the image itself, but rather to your own attitudes as judgment. You have placed a label on it and you perceive it to be bad or wrong. It's always a negative. You perceive it to be bad, you perceive it to be wrong. You perceive it to be a criminal act, but this is your perception. Therefore, it is your judgment. Ultimately, one is able to observe such visions without reacting one way or the other. Indeed, one is able to be present in the movie without reacting at all. One becomes merely the witness. When one is able to cease categorizing one's perceptions according to a mindset rooted in duality, one is able to cease assessing each vision and simply perceive its presence. In this level of non-judgment, one creates the foundation of a reality incapable of jeopardizing the sanctity of one's autonomy and the precious heightened levels of vibration that one instinctively seeks to protect. Okay, so what are they saying here? Sometimes all those ones, it gets kind of confusing. It sounds like it's going around in a circle, but let's break it down. First of all, they're saying when you are in a situation and you think that it's a bad situation, or you think it's, you look at people and their acts, or you're in an experience and you consider it negative, that at that point you are placing a judgment on it. It is only your perception. That's one level of what they're saying. The other level of what they're saying is that because you're in this situation, in this mess, it is something that is going on within you that is being reflected back to you. And if you go take this all the way back to chapter 24, when they talk about the experiences that we have, the things that you regret the most, the things that are the most difficult for you, those were the things that you incarnated in this lifetime to experience, and they're the things that are going to take you higher. So here you are in this negative situation, which you perceive to be negative. And on the one hand, if we go roll back, we're in that situation because it's a major lesson for us. And it is mirroring or being a reflection of something that is within you. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in that situation. But what they're asking you to do is to be able to observe the mess that you're in without reacting to it one way or the other. That's the first sentence here. Ultimately, one is able to observe such visions without reacting one way or the other. And indeed, one is able to be present in the movie without reacting at all. How many of you can be in your most devastating mess and not react at all? Now, I tell you, that's one that you need to write a note down to yourself. And when you have the opportunity, practice. Remember I shared with you when I was arrested? I had an opportunity to practice this. That was devastating for me. But that's a perception, isn't it? There was a time it would have been devastating for me, is a better way to say that. But I went through that process extremely calm. I can't believe how calm I was. And I placed no judgments on it whatsoever. It was just something that I needed to move through for whatever reason. And it was the most rewarding experience I've had recently. The most rewarding. So, one becomes merely a witness. You are an observer. Which equals and means you are detached. There's no emotional attachment here. It's a movie. And when one is able to cease categorizing one's perceptions according to a mindset rooted in duality. Now that word duality is really filled with a lot. But what they're saying is when you can stop separating yourself from the creation. Understand that whatever you're going through, you are the creator of it. It's not something happening to you, it's something happening through you. Thank you. You know, this morning I was preparing for this lesson and I said, how do I explain duality? Make sure, do I understand duality? And here it is, the example is coming through. The Holy Spirit is so magnificent. You are not separate from your creation, the same as God is not separate from you, because you are God's creation. And that's what we're talking about in terms of duality. So they're saying here, when one is able to cease categorizing your perceptions according to a mindset that is rooted in duality, that you are separate from your creation, one is able to cease assessing each vision and simply perceive its presence. I have created this. It's here. It's manifested. And now I have some choices to make, don't I? They said, in this level of non-judgment, one creates the foundation of a reality incapable of jeopardizing, meaning it cannot harm you. In jeopardizing the sanctity of your autonomy, and the precious heightened levels of vibration that you are instinctively seeking to protect. So here you are, you're on your journey, and you're moving in your bliss, and bam, there's some drama. And here's how, if you're, you know, coming out of the church, here's how we say it. You know, the devil's trying to steal your joy. And what's the affirmation? I am not going to let the devil steal my joy. But what's the problem with that statement? We're perceiving the devil as outside of ourselves. We're dealing in duality now. Great affirmation. But it's like there's this outside force. There is no outside force. There is the duality force that is within you. And that's what the devil represents. That little, you know how they had the little devil on one shoulder and the little angel on the other shoulder? It's, and both are whispering to you? That's what they're talking about. The duality is within you. But you keep thinking, oh, there's somebody out here pulling strings for the good luck and the bad luck. And oh, Lord. No, it is you. Simultaneously, in many cases, one suddenly becomes aware that there is truly nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. And one begins to observe life with a new level of detached fascination. I'm always sharing with you my revelations, okay? I remember the moment, and I still have fearful moments. Not as many as I used to, and I quickly correct them. But I remember when I could express fully with every part of my being that there was nothing to fear. And that was when I moved into the truth that God is in me. As I moved closer into being one with God, and out of that mindset of duality, I recognized that there was nothing to fear. Why? And this is my logic, okay? Because I'm a Virgo, everything has to be linear. I said, okay, God is all powerful, God is omnipotent, omnipotent, omniscient, all knowing. And everywhere. Omnipresence, meaning he's everywhere present, and that energy is in me. Whoa. The creator of the universe is in me. Whoa. What am I fearing? What do I have to fear? Absolutely nothing. That was my logical mind. And once that seed was planted, it has just grown and grown and grown. And so I may get a wave of fear when I've created a mess, but it subsides very quickly. That knowingness of my oneness with God kills it immediately. And guess what? If I have a challenge in front of me, I don't make a move until I know that I have cleared the decks of my fear and my doubt, that I am in alignment with the Holy Spirit, with the divine energy in me, with God in me, that I'm in total alignment and total at peace before I move in that drama. Before I open my mouth, before I make a decision, I make sure that I have my shield up, my holy shield, which is my oneness. When you begin to realize that you are literally creating all of it, you are giving it power. You are giving it energy. And its effect upon you vibrationally is a direct reflection of the attitudes that you project upon it. When you cease rejecting certain categories of experience and certain individuals, and you realize that you have drawn them into your energy field with your own judgments as to their merits in relation to your judgment of your own merits, the adverse effects inherent in the exchange cease to manifest. Are you guys getting that? First of all, they declare there is absolutely nothing to fear. Most of our judgments are coming from a fear-based life, a fear-based thoughts. And it can be on many, 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 many levels. But what oneness is telling us is the more you stay in that fear, that you are actually creating a monster. You're creating all of it. And your thoughts are giving it power. And you're giving it energy. You know, Dr. Reggie does a lot of spiritual work. And in particular, you know, people feel like they are being attacked by spirits and things of that nature. And I remember once we went to this guy's house, and he had Jesus on the wall and Kuan Yin and all kinds of statues, every religion around, and he was having all this activity in his house. And it was so clear that he had created this energy. And Dr. Reggie will tell you, you will create, your thoughts are so powerful that they can manifest energy. They can manifest things moving in your house and all of that from your fearful thoughts. How many of you remember when you were a little kid and being in the room at night and seeing monsters or hearing, you could make it into anything you want, your little fearful thoughts. And it was real for you. So when they say you are giving it power, that's the extreme when it manifests in some kind of form. But understand that is your perception. You are giving it power, even if it's just an experience with bills or whatever. You have created that. And if you feel that you are going to be overtaken by debt and you're fearing it more and more and more, because remember, the universe can only say yes, then you're giving it power and it's going to take power, it's going to take your energy. It's going to have an effect on your vibration. But when you cease rejecting certain categories of experience, in other words, you say, okay, I'm not going to be in debt. All of my bills are paid timely. And if I have a bill, I just have a bill and I'll pay it. Rather than attaching all of this other drama onto it. Because remember, what you think about, you talk about. What you talk about, you bring about. When you cease rejecting certain categories of experience and certain individuals, and this is what I love about Dr. Reggie, he can talk to a homeless person, a drug addict. When I met Dr. Reggie, he lived not, and I don't mean like literally living there, but he was down in Skid Row. He spent his time in Skid Row talking to those who our judgment would be the least of us. That's where he spent his time. And he had a, what was so amazing was how I watched him interface with these people. It was as though they were the holiest people on the planet. Absolutely no judgment there. course, me, I'm like, oh, Lord, there are rats down here. I'm running and screaming from the rats, and he's just as calm and all that mess. It's amazing. People walking up, and I'm scared I'm going to catch something from them. Look, listen to all my thoughts. And he was just warm and loving. I wasn't ready for that. He's magnificent, and I still have some work to do, but I'm better. I'm much better than I was when he met me. So when you cease rejecting certain categories and certain individuals and realize that you have drawn them into your energy field with your own judgments as to their merits in relation to your judgments of your own merits, the adverse effects inherent in the exchange cease to manifest. How many of you can say, can imagine, or really just if you kind of go deep down inside of yourself, and let's say, for instance, I'm just going to use this as an example. I would recoil from people that were homeless and begging. I was afraid. It was a level of fear. Why was I afraid? And I'll tell you why I was afraid. When I was a little girl, my father put me in the car, and he drove me into a very different part of town than where we lived. And the images that are still burned in my mind were these. I remember the kids running around. They were barefoot. They were dirty. Their clothes were dirty. Their hair was not combed. The houses were falling apart. It was like this dark, this wood, and it wasn't painted or anything, and it was just, the houses were just crumbling. And my father said to me, "Do you want to live like this?" He says, "I want you to take a real good look at this." He says, "This is what happens to you when you don't finish school, when you don't get a good education." And it set up a fear in me. So when I see these people, that stays with me. But it's a judgment, isn't it? And the reason those people come into my experience is because it's a reflection of my judgment and my fear. And I have attracted it to me. So scan your life, scan your perceptions, scan your judgments, scan your fears. Because those are the ones that you have to become detached from. So how do I see these people today? I see them as God sees them. Every human being has value. Every human being is divine. And I love them. I'm sharing my stuff. Lord knows I'm sharing my stuff. Anyway, let's move on. When judgment, which is rooted in duality, here's that word again, duality, is not projected onto a conceptual vision, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, by definition, that can be reflected back to you. The first lesson of the way of the wizard was to get rid of the judgment, get rid of the labels. It is the first step into becoming a wizard. And here we are right back again. Release the judgment. So the so-called negative energy that one senses as one shifts into the heightened levels of awareness takes on the coloration of your perception of the types of images you are creating in your life. The knowingness that all life is one essence begins to permeate your consciousness, and you choose to see with great joy the selections calculated to reflect your highest vision of yourself. You adopt a state of beingness that demonstrates an awareness of other kinds of imagery, but with the detached energy of non-judgment that does not empower or disempower, but rather it just allows the image to simply be within the context of your own arena of awareness. It just is. And as you begin to strengthen the skills of non-reaction, you are able to re-enter the physical world and to walk freely within it, knowing that it cannot affect you vibrationally one way or the other, because the period of reclusive non-interaction can be a lengthy one and can be relatively short, or it can be relatively short-lived, dependent upon your ability to integrate the understanding that the fear-based attitudes rooted in separation only serve to reinforce the effect that the perception of negative energy has upon you. For the only power any image has is that which you give it as the creator with your judgments. The only power anyone has over you is the power you give them. The only power that any situation has over you is the power you give it. And it's all based on fearful thoughts. I'm loving this lesson. I hope it's giving you courage to stamp out whatever you're afraid of right now, because it sure is ministering to me. I still have my little fears. Oh, yes. But I'm stamping them out today. Thank you, God, that is within me. I recognize I've created this with my fearful thoughts, but I choose now to not allow it and not to feed it with any more of power. One begins to bridge the gap between the theoretical understandings of the process of the creation of your reality and the experiential evidence of that process, and your skill in manifesting more and more of what you would wish to experience becomes strengthened. So on some level, we need to have these negative experiences so that we can practice, if you choose to practice. Changing it, shifting the energy. Remember I sent you that song saying you're an energetic shapeshifter? You're an energetic shapeshifter. You're creating it all. He said he has a line in there. He says you might as well be happy. You might as well be prosperous. You might as well be great. If you have a choice, why would you choose the opposite of that? If you're creating it and it's your energy that's creating it, why would you choose the opposite of being great, of being prosperous, of being happy? Oh, no, I'm going to create misery today. I don't think so. So, these are not abilities that are perfected overnight. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're learning that. And simply because you have an intellectual grasp of the conceptual foundation of manifestation does not guarantee that you are able to put that understanding into practice instantly with perfect results. So as with any skill, perfection takes what? Practice. I'm not saying that. That's what's in the book. On page 254, near the bottom of the book, please underline it. As with any skill, perfection takes practice. I tell you to practice. So if you hang up the phone, and you forget this lesson, shame on you. The realization that you truly are the producer, you're the director, and you're the star player in your drama goes a long way toward reinforcing that understanding. You're in a mess. Stop and say, how did I create this mess? Why would I even want to experience this? Somewhere inside of you, there's some fear. And here's what they say. As you are able to reflect back over your journey of metamorphosis and recapture as crystalline awareness the moments in your personal drama where it becomes obvious that you were the source of it all. The movie itself, which impacted you so strongly, was in actuality no more than a symbolic reflection of the mindset with which you projected your energies upon the screen you consider to be your reality. And that energy was enhanced and sustained by the levels of emotion. Those scenarios were calculated by you to simulate. And the process was so well choreographed by you to build to a crescendo so that it would be blatantly obvious to you that you were the spark responsible for igniting the entire process of illumination. And I promise you, if you will just breathe and do a scan of those most horrendous moments in your life, you will be very aware that you created them. I'm going to end this lesson today. I urge you to read this chapter over again. This is a powerful chapter. It really makes you take ownership of your life. I have a few minutes here. I'm going to open up. If you want to have questions or comments and can keep them brief, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. Wow. Okay, I'm going to read the last paragraph. This crossroads in the endless cycle marks a pause in the eternal momentum where that choice may be made. They're saying that you have at some point that there is, as you're moving through life, you know that you have a choice to continue to go through these cycles with your judgment or to release it and transcend to another level. The accelerating momentum of the energies of this enchanted moment makes it possible for beings to choose to circumvent the endless cycle and in essence exit the system. Because that whole process of you creating these experiences that are reflections of your judgments, it's a cycle until you can get out of that judgment cycle. And they're calling that whole process a system. So there comes a time when you can exit this system. So as your experience of this process deepens, so too will the awareness of the limitations inherent in the endless cycle. And many will embrace the opportunity to retain the understandings gleaned and to merge into oneness. In other words, you are going to move into oneness and move out of that state of duality consciousness. And from that enhanced perspective, once you are in the oneness, you may choose to be and to know oneself as the artist from a multidimensional perspective. It is not necessary to leave the body behind and experience physical death in order to opt for this level of experience. It is this alternative to the endless cycle that is the nature of these times, and it is a viable option that will be made available in this lifetime to many whose eyes have only just begun to open to this endless moment of now. Dr. Reggie, would you take us into our closing prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for a wonderful lesson and an opportunity to learn and to grow and to enrich our lives with these truths of who we are. We engineer our lives with thought, and you are the first cause and the first thought. And thinking of us as individual beings, we are so grateful to be thought of and to come into this expression at this time, knowing how powerful we are, and at any time we can choose to make our life go in any direction, any way we want to, just by thinking and doing and acting. Be our navigator and be our guide into this wonderful system of life. Let us always make the right choices, say the right things, and think the right thoughts to navigate our lives. We're welcoming all good energies and angels and spirits and ascended masters on this path to guide us along the way, to help us to choose correctly, and to be holy always in your presence as you are always with us. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. Tomorrow we'll be moving into Chapter 27, which begins on page 259. God bless you. I love you as God loves you.